I'm sure that, like me, your eyes have been rolling when the statistics come on television of how many millions of people have been vaccinated against the COVID virus, how many people have been hospitalised, and how many people have died in the past week. And then we get the world statistics, and it's very difficult to take the figures in. And though we read that heaven sounds a wonderful place, rarely do we hear people expressing great enthusiasm to get there, although it's not unknown for those who are desperately ill and in pain to confess that they just want to go. There's a desire to be relieved of pain, which begins to exceed the desire to live. A second reading from Revelation is this: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. I suppose all of us at times would say that our God is complex. That's understandable. How could we understand anyone who by a word can create the earth and the seas, let alone place the stars in every galaxy? Our finite minds cannot take in the infinity of God. But we have the history of Jesus on earth. As part of the Trinity, he, being God, came to dwell among us and to show us what God is like. Yet such is the gap between the omnipotence of God and our human ability, some people who met Jesus failed to recognize his omnipotence. Even the disciples questioned how Jesus should put in place his plan for the world. Like us, they questioned the reasoning of Jesus to do things they didn't understand. And equally, they questioned why he didn't do other things which the disciples wanted him to do. But his aim was always to do things which he knew would bring glory to his Father. What greater glory could Jesus bring to his Father than to convince us that he will wipe every tear from their eyes? There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So earthly life is just a prelude to the kind of life God has for us if we accept the offer of salvation Jesus came to earth to bring for us. The consequences of the sin we experience here on earth, which cause us so much worry, will be ended for us the moment we pass from this earth to the home God has for us in heaven. That happens to all who place their sin on the sinless Jesus. Even here on earth, those who claim him as their Saviour will begin to experience the kind of life they're promised in heaven. So let's for a moment consider that wonderful comment by John in Revelation. He, that is God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He isn't claiming that we won't shed tears here or we'll never have pain. That perfect world is yet to come. But as followers of Jesus, we're being eased into that promised land. But what's the process? Well, we're told, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. As in Psalm 55. That doesn't mean nothing here on earth will cause us to shed tears. Losing a loved one, even if they are saved and confident of their place in heaven, still affects us by their absence to share with them. Casting our care on the Lord won't take away the human sadness of bereavement, even if God, in his infinite love and boundless grace, comforts us by reminding us of what he has reserved for us in his eternity. Our earthly tears will flow when we remember what we are missing, despite being confident of what lies ahead for us. The reuniting will be miraculous, and there will then be no cause for tears. The days of mourning will be no more. The funeral undertakers will be out of work forever. But just as importantly, all pain will cease. There'll be no danger of viruses, no infirmities, no mysterious aches and pains. And though we may make light-hearted comments about the aging process, we shall then be ageless. The old order of things will be passed away. We shall have the life God intended for us when he created Adam and gave him the perfection of the Garden of Eden. But we're not there yet. We're having to try to help people who are trying to cope with people who are experiencing pain, who get sick and are dying. And we do shed tears. Telling the bereaved that there is no need for tears because there's coming that great day of rejoicing when we shall be reunited is to expect of them something unreasonable. That time may be many years in the future for us. My own brother died 73 years ago. In human terms, that's a long while to appreciate that there will come a time when I won't have to experience missing him. Death is not a design by God to enable us to go from a world of inexplicable sadness at times to a time of everlasting joy. Death is the result of the consequence of Adam's choice when he brought disobedience into the world. It's a time when God restores forever what he originally intended for us. And as we journey through the tears, so our vision becomes clear to see all God has prepared for us. But it's difficult for us to think of that when we're consumed with grief. But let me share with you a remarkable fact about God on earth in the form of Jesus. In John chapter 11, we read about Jesus being told that his friend Lazarus had died. Jesus was chided that had he been there, Lazarus would not have died. Like you, no doubt, I've heard the question asked so many times when a loved one has died, why didn't God answer prayer and heal them? Jesus, with all his omnipotence, so relatively close geographically to Lazarus, didn't heal his friend. He used words to Martha that we use so often in such circumstances. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And though Martha answered that she believed those words, she returned to her sister Mary, who was being comforted by fellow Jews, and she sought to find Jesus And she also upbraided Jesus and said, if Jesus had been there, her brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw the ones who were trying to bring her comfort weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And when they showed him where Lazarus was buried, what did Jesus do? He wept. The Son of God, with limitless power, wept. We might ask why Jesus shed tears, knowing that in a few moments he would raise Lazarus from the tomb. It's such a comfort to us when we shed tears, we open God's heart to his expression of compassion for us. We're told in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. God is not detached from our suffering. We read in Lamentations, for he, that is God, does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Even though Jesus always chooses what will ultimately bring his Father the most glory, sometimes, as in Lazarus's case, there is affliction and grief beforehand, which God, of course, hasn't caused. Jesus wept because he saw that death has always is the result of the sin which inevitably results even for the Christian. Redeemed as we are still affected here on earth by the sin of the world. It is true, as we know, that at the moment of death, Christians enter into the kind of life God wants us to have. But it was nonetheless heartbreaking for Jesus to see what the effects of sin can do to people who still have to go through that moment of death. So Jesus wept because he knew the wages of sin is death. So as those who witness the distress of those who are bereaved, we're seeing how the disobedience of man has resulted in the depth of grief that bereavement brings. And though the glory of the wonderful place in heaven is a reality, as Christians, we join with Jesus as he wept, that it should affect his friend Lazarus, and for us, our loved ones. Our role in the world as his disciples is to show in our response to illness and death how God is affected by those situations. How can we do less than weep with those who weep? Thank you, Lord, for the after the situation, there comes such a glory which turns our grief to joy. Oh, my dear Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, may you sense the presence of Jesus when you shed tears of compassion. Amen.